Ready to go? Good morning. This morning I have some things to share with you that the Lord has been speaking to my heart for a number of weeks now. My first thought was not to record this because it's going to be personal to the church here. But I want those that aren't here this morning that to be able to get a CD of this. Also, I thought about the mailer people that aren't physically here with the fellowship, and those that are on our mailer, they may be physically living somewhere else, but they're as much the heart of the ministry as we are that are here today. So I felt it'd be good to record this. It's interesting with the way we've functioned as a fellowship. So many people have been apart and have been led on to different things, and our attitude has not been to control or try to hold on, as you can see that in a lot of churches. Consequently, people that have left never really leave. I mean, in the spirit, they're still as much a part of the heart of what's happening here. That's a good thing. When we can truly let go, we never really lose what's of value. So this morning, I want to talk about the church here. It is time for a new season, and a new season is coming forth. We have a long history here, Living Springs, starting from the mid to late 70s. There's been many transition points during that history, a lot of changes, but it's all been one season in the Lord. There are words that we've had spoken over this house that have been and are being fulfilled. Someone recently asked me where the words are. I really don't know where we have them written down. And probably if we asked everyone here, you remember different prophetic words. But a house of worship, a place of healing, Living Springs, just the name. People come and can drink of the water of life. Focus on the Lord, not a lot other things going on. And we've seen that fulfilled. But it is time now for a new season to begin for our lives. And we need to look at that. What does that mean to this fellowship? It means change, we know that. But we need to embrace what the Lord is bringing forth and what he means by a new season. In Psalm 1:3, it says, talking about the tree, yields its fruit in its season. In each season that God brings forth, there's going to be new fruit that comes forth during that season. It doesn't mean that we abandon the words that we've had, but certainly how we relate to those words is going to be different. An example, when Jesus walked the earth, the disciples related the word of God, the words of the prophets, all to him as a person. Everything was about Jesus. He was fulfilling what had been prophetically spoken of him. The day of Pentecost comes and Jesus is no longer there. Those same words now apply to those that have been following him, right? It says in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so also are we in the world. All those words that applied to Jesus. Now the Lord was saying, okay, those words are to be the fruit in your life. So they had to make an adjustment. It's kind of like what we like to do is we all want a new season, but we want to carry certain parts of the old with us. The disciples would tell Jesus saying, okay, listen, we know the day of Pentecost is coming. Your Holy Spirit's going to be in us. But wouldn't it be better if you were right alongside us? Couldn't we have the best of both worlds? Jesus, you're still here, yet we're moving in a new way. Jesus, obviously, that couldn't happen. He said, it's for your sake, I must go. One thing had to end for something new to be truly established. For us as a fellowship, what are we talking about? We're not talking about this building here. We're not talking about our doctrine. We're talking about our lives. We all need to take down the walls that we have defined as this fellowship, Living Springs. We all need to allow the Holy Spirit to show us how we're bonded to this place, to this fellowship. We all have a history here. We've seen the Lord move here. We have strong memories, hopefully more good than bad. I think that would be the case, definitely more good. But still, there's an attachment we have to the way things should be that needs to break. And I'm speaking to you this morning, and I believe in the authority of the Lord that as the word is spoken, something is created. We can now break bonds with our past. We can let go of our history, our thinking, our agenda, how we define this church, what we want and expect. Lay it all down before the Lord and say, Lord, let this new season come forth by your Spirit. Let it create in us a new way of thinking, your thoughts, your agenda. What's it going to mean? I don't know. I really don't. It's not like I know and I'm just not saying. It's a step of faith. Anything new that God does, you step first into it by faith, and then the understanding follows. We don't need to figure it out. We need to let go of what we have already figured out. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? Our thinking, we need to let it go and just embrace what is new by faith and let God unfold it. People have all kinds of thoughts about this. You know, God's going to bring in all kinds of new people, do this and do that. I don't know. Whatever God wants to do, I'm on board for that. What if he wanted us to not be here and be somewhere else? Are we as open to that as God bringing a lot of new people here? We better be. We better be. We've got to let go of what the ministry of this church has meant to us so that we can have faith for the fruit of a new season in the Lord. Now, this changes leadership for us. I want to talk about this. There's about 4 points I want to make here, and I'm going to take my time because I just want all of us just to really get a hold of what the Spirit is speaking. So, leadership is always needed. Yet whenever leadership gets off track or there's problems, people want to just kind of throw it out. The problems we have with leadership are due to human ego. They're due to the problems we have in the flesh. Those have to be dealt with. But leadership is the way God expresses his authority. The question is not, do we need leadership? The question is, what type of leadership do we need? What God wants now in this new season is a greater sense of responsibility for every believer. If leadership is helping people become more responsible before the Lord in their own walk with God, in their own identity of who they are in the Lord and moving out in the Lord, then it's doing its purpose. If leadership is not accomplishing that, it's of the old and needs to be replaced. Now, leadership can be expressed through the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, on and on. We're not talking about roles here or the way it's expressed. We're talking about, is it accomplishing the purpose for which God wants? Ephesians 4, God gave gift ministries so that everyone would grow up into Christ. We don't need to analyze gift ministries and everybody get your little tag saying what you are, and let's figure out what that means. We need to see the gifts that are giving, are they bringing forth Christ in people? I think the enemy's tried to thwart the purpose of the gift ministries. We can have them all here, but if you don't have the right type of leadership, God's authority coming through the way that he wants, that's what needs to change. We've got to see that happen. We're going to look at different types of leadership. One big problem we have is in how we think about authority. Jesus, at the Last Supper, knelt down and washed the disciples' feet, and he said, look, I've got all authority in heaven and earth. Here's how it works. Now, we look at that, and we're blessed by that example. But that is not a part of our conditioning and thinking. We look at what Jesus did and go, oh, how humble he was. He was showing how God's authority works. It doesn't work in a condescending way through a hierarchy. It works on your knees ministering to someone. It works through the spirit of humility. This has not been established yet because our whole way of thinking, religious or otherwise, is contrary to this. This is not how authority works in the world. It's not how it works in most churches, right? So this new season, if we're going to see the leadership that God wants that produces this self-responsibility in the spirit for people, it's going to come from washing one another's feet. It's going to come on our knees serving one another. Our perception of authority and leadership has got to be changed by the Holy Spirit. And it's not just every once in a while we'll preach from the book of John on Jesus washing the disciples' feet and go, oh yeah, isn't that wonderful? That example has got to be about the way that we think and how we operate and how we relate to authority. Moses is one type of authority. He helped the Israelites through their wilderness travels, didn't he? What was the purpose? Moses helped people to be led by the Spirit. Remember, the cloud would lead them, the presence of God would lead them. Moses was there to help them travel through their wilderness. We've seen this kind of authority. It's needed, the shepherd's authority. We all have a personal wilderness in our life. Authority helps us. That ministry helps us to relate to the leading of the Holy Spirit, God moving in our lives and how we move through our wilderness experience. But that type of authority doesn't go in and take the land. You need a Joshua for that, right? What did the people encounter? What did Moses encounter when he led the people by God's Spirit? The people's response was, Moses, you do it and we'll follow. What they should have said is, Moses, you do it and we'll complain about it afterwards, because that's what happened, right? You see the problem? God gives leadership, but the people are saying, we don't want to be responsible. You do it. So that type of leadership obviously was limited. They couldn't go into the land. Joshua comes on the scene. You read Joshua 1. The people say to him, we're on board here. We're not just telling you to go up the mountain. Whatever God's spoken to you to do, we're going to do it. And the book of Joshua starts out that way. A new type of leadership for what? A new season. Same authority, God's authority, but a new type of leadership. They go in, they take Jericho. Tremendous victory. They go to their second battle at Ai. What happens? They're defeated. You remember why? Achan stole some, I think, a gold bar and some silver and a mantle, hid it, went against the word of the Lord. One person doesn't take responsibility to the word that God had spoken. A whole nation suffered a defeat. New season, new responsibility. Okay, what was the problem that was developing with Israel? It's starting right there. The people wanted to take the land. They wanted to do the will of God. They didn't have the same heart and spirit that Joshua had. Now, if you want to see that proven out, read the book of Joshua, then the book of Judges. In Judges, it said all the people did what? What was right in their own eyes. Again, not taking responsibility to have the spirit that God wanted. It wasn't enough that Joshua or Caleb or certain ones had it. When the people lost sight of that again, the leadership was not producing that responsibility within people to the Lord. The book of Judges is filled with a history of being up and down. God would send a deliverer, someone would be responsible before God to do what he said, the people get a victory. How long would it last? Just a certain period of time, and they'd go back into bondage. Let's go forward to another type of leadership with Samuel. God wants to establish his rule over his people through the word of the Lord. And with Samuel in 1 Samuel 3:9, says, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. An authority that be released where people would be led by the voice of the Lord. What a tremendous thing. An attitude of heart. Again, this is taking responsibility. Everybody being responsible before God saying, Father, speak. I'm listening to you. It's not just I'm waiting for Moses to give me the word or Joshua. I'm listening. What was the people's response? We want to be like everybody else. Give us a king. We don't want to be responsible to hear God. So you can see how leadership was given by God, but it didn't produce the result that what God wanted in his people, because the people didn't want the responsibility. So in this new season, do we need more apostles and prophets? Probably. Do we need to spend a lot of time focusing on where the ministries are and a lot of things we've done in the past? I don't think so. I think we just need to focus on why has God given these ministries in the first place? And am I growing in responsibility like Samuel to hear the voice of the Lord? Am I growing to know who I am in the Lord and being responsible for the ministry he's given me? I think that's where the focus is. How about here? How does it apply here? Well, this new step, this new season, I got news for you. I'm not able to do it for us. It's not like, you know, David will show us and then we'll do it. No. You know, we're going to turn this page together. What's it going to mean? I don't know, but we're going to read it together. I have found personally that I'm having to make some changes right now. And it's not a backing away from leadership. It's certainly not a backing away from you. I really love you. I always have. And I don't think that'll ever change. But the way the leadership is expressed has got to change. And we're in a time now where everybody's got to see their place and take responsibility for who you are in the Lord. There are things or ways that I've expressed leadership here that I find are not anointed. They were in the past, but now they're just like it's like carrying a weight or a yoke. It's just heavy. And I'm having to confront my own condition, if I can just open up with you for a little bit. Fears that I have that I've kind of kept throughout the years. I don't like disappointing people. I want to keep everybody happy. I want to do all that I can do to make things better. But the Lord is confronting me that I need to let go of things that aren't anointed, whether people are happy with it or not. I've got to lighten my own load so that I can be more responsive to the way the Spirit is leading. So this is hard. I think each one of us have to do this. We need to examine what areas is the Spirit putting his finger on in our lives. Do we need to continue to do things that aren't really led of the Lord just because everyone expects it? No, we all need to drop that. So that's how the leadership needs to change. I see it changing more from a pastoral type thing to more of a prophetic. And, you know, for me, this was my beginning. I didn't begin. It's not like in junior high or high school I dreamed about being a pastor. Actually, of all the careers I was considering, that didn't come up. When the Lord met my heart in the late teens, I wanted one thing. He was speaking to me. The Spirit was opening up, and I just wanted that. It wasn't about a ministry with other people. Just hearing God was just unbelievable. I mean, to me, it captured my heart. Out of that came a ministry to others. But I feel myself drawn back, not to withdraw from people, but drawn back to the initial start of being in the prophetic. Just being lost in hearing his voice. I don't think there's going to be any less shepherding in the Spirit. What it's going to change is maybe aspects of pastoring or the role of pastoring that isn't producing anything spiritual anyway. To continue in ways that aren't led of the Spirit isn't doing me any good, and it's not doing you any good either. And that's what I don't want to see continue. That's for me. Everyone in this room has to deal with certain conditionings that aren't a part of the new season. It's been brought up about us having the men's meeting. And it's something very good has been happening with the women in this church for some time. And I want to talk about this just briefly. I'm in disagreement. I've talked with a few of the women here about this issue. Not about whether a men's meeting would be good. We've had that in the past. But about how to go about it. Now, I should know better. I'm a married man. To be in disagreement with the women here probably isn't a healthy thing for me. But let me try to express myself. There's a way of thinking of build it and they will come. Do you remember that? What movie was that a part of? Field of Dreams? It works very well in the church realm. It's a good principle. A lot of churches, they'll look and say, we want more people. So they'll go out and they will build a bigger sanctuary. And I think a lot of times they get a lot more people coming. I feel again here, to me in my heart, I can't do this yet. Maybe I'm wrong. And I talked to someone and saying, you know, I'm going through a lot of changes now. If I'm wrong in something, it won't be the first time. And I believe the Spirit can show me and correct me on it. I feel right at this point that as men, I'm talking to the men in the church here, something needs to begin in our hearts. And out of that, we create and do a meeting together. Okay? Not that we start a meeting. We've had that before. And then few show up. Many don't show up, whatever. I want to see it the other way. If it's me starting a meeting, this is not a place I want to be in right now. This is not a spiritual burden. This is a weight. If it's us feeling a need to get together, I want to be a part of that. Now, I don't want any of the men to talk to me right after the service, but I want you to pray about this. If, you know, our schedules are crazy, and right now I don't have a lot of extra time, but I will always make time for something that is of the Spirit. If there's something collectively in our hearts we want to get together, having a meeting is a great thing. But you see what I'm saying? I want it to start from the heart. Let's talk about it and let's express it. We can get together. Okay, so again, this is going back to this thing of leadership. I need to be a part of things, not just initiating things right now. All right, we're not close to being done yet. I shouldn't tell you that. No. All right, one other point about following or fitting in this new season. The old season is about following. You see the Spirit moving in different places, and we look at the hot spots in the earth right now. I don't know how else to describe it. Bethel Chapel, Kansas City, there are places where just phenomenal things are happening in the Spirit. And we've been trained to follow, and that's a necessary thing. Let me backtrack. Unless we learn how to follow the Spirit, we'll never learn how to fit in spiritually to what God's doing. But many people have stopped in just learning how to follow, and they've never found their function in what God is pouring out. We want to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. So you look at the landscape out there and you say, well, I want to be where it's anointed, right? You don't want to be somewhere where people are just following dead tradition and nothing's going on. You want to be where God's speaking a live word. You want to be where there's worship in the Spirit. This is all good and right. But in this new season, we've got to take a step further from just following and identifying with what's of the Spirit to finding where we fit into this revival that's taking place in the Spirit right now. I don't think it means we all move to Redding, California, or we all move to Kansas City or whatever. That's just not practical. God is bigger than any one place. It means that that Spirit of what's taking place, wherever we're at physically, we fit in the Spirit to what's happening. You can read later 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, talks about the body, how we find our place of fitting in. We don't find a place through ambition. Okay? The Holy Spirit has to create it for us. I'm going to read you a verse from 1 Corinthians 12:18. God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body as he has desired. Okay, when we talk about fitting into the anointing, everyone has a specific place in this beautiful spiritual body. You don't fit in because you use your own ambition and saying, I want to be a ministry. I think I'll do that. Too much of this happens in the church world. We are in a season now where people are going to know and discern the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives and know the difference between what the Spirit is speaking and just what comes through the human mind, their own thoughts. So what it's saying here is God places each one in the body as pleases him. This thing of fitting in is not about striving. It's about listening to the Lord. And you can look and say, well, the Spirit's moving over here in a great way and over there. What about us? You know, if we feel like we're outside looking in, you ever have that feeling? I'm the only one. Yeah. When I hear about wonderful miracles, I rejoice and I think, where am I? Should I be somewhere else physically maybe? What's happening here? Everybody gets that feeling. It doesn't mean we need to follow in a different way. Well, I guess I better move to another city where these things are happening. If I'm feeling like I'm outside looking in, I'm not relating enough to the Holy Spirit and how He's fitting me in to what is taking place. God's Spirit is greater than any one expression, no matter how great that expression might be. It's covering the entire world and earth. It's bigger than our minds can figure out. We don't have to try. He has a special, unique place of identity for each and every person to fit in. Isn't that a good thing? I'll read this from Ephesians 4. Verse 16, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, again, each part taking responsibility, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We're in that time right now. So the other thing with that and fitting together is we learn how to honor one another. Talks in Corinthians about divisions, doesn't it? What happens? One member says, I don't need you. Or we deem certain members as less honorable. Where does that come from? Human pride, human judgment. What that does is it disrupts the process of the Holy Spirit fitting us together. Every joint supplying. How do we counter that kind of assault? That's really the enemy that comes in to do that. When we have judgments, when we have criticisms, what's taking place is we're working against the Holy Spirit. When we look at another member of the body and we criticize them and we bestow less honor on them, we're working against the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And what we're doing, not only disrupting that person from fitting in, we're not fitting in ourselves, are we? We're putting ourselves on a throne and making judgments. We're not fitting in the body. We're trying to be the head. Only Jesus can be the head. So what we're learning to do in fitting together is how to minister honor. And that says in 1 Corinthians 12th chapter, it talks about God takes those that we deem as less honorable. What does He do? He bestows more honor. What's He doing? He evens everything out. You know, when you elevate someone on a pedestal and you say, I'm going to give you more honor, where's that honor coming from? You're taking it away from somewhere else. God doesn't want anybody on a pedestal, does He? He's on the throne, so that means all of the rest of us are on level ground. So when we make more of a certain person than we should, we begin to idolize certain people or ministries, we're taking away from others. And often the person we're taking away from is ourselves. If I take you and say, oh, you're just so great and you're just way up here, often what I'm also saying is I'm nothing. I'll be belittling myself. What does that do? That disrupts the process of fitting in because I'm not taking responsibility for who I am in the Lord. I'm giving you too much. This has got to end. In this culture or this atmosphere of honoring one another, we truly have that loving attitude. We don't put people on pedestals. We don't tear other people down and give them less honor. Everybody's on level ground at the cross, aren't they? In the kingdom of God, no one's taller than anybody else. But in that atmosphere of honor, we all fit together and function the way we're meant to. All right, one last thing with this. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Mount of Transfiguration. It's also in the book of Matthew 17. And when they went up, they saw Jesus with Moses and Elijah appearing to them in glory. And there's one thing I want you to notice. Peter's response to this spiritual happening is, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I intended to say more on this, but I think the main point is, it's a time and a season where the presence of God is going to be very real, very personal with all of us. When the presence of God is manifesting, like it was on the Mount, here's Jesus being transfigured with Moses, Elijah. Something special is happening. What we need to realize is the presence of God impacts our spirit one way and our soul another. Peter, in his spirit, is saying, it is good that we are here. They're just amazed at what they're looking at. But in his soul, what does he do? Uh-oh, God's here. What does he expect out of me? Jesus, should we build some tabernacles now? What do we need to do here? This has been very much a part of our thinking as we approach the Lord. We're always looking for what we need to do. Like Mary, when she was before Jesus, she sat at his feet. What was she doing? Nothing, just in his presence. We are going to learn in this season just to be in the presence of God. Not to get something, not to do something, just to be there. Read in Matthew 17, it says, they opened their eyes, they saw only Jesus. We're in his presence to see who the Lord is in a clearer way. We're all looking through a lens of our own conditioning, our own battles, our own hurts. We see Jesus not clearly yet, do we? Through our own minds, God wants to bring a clearer revelation of who the Son is to us. That's what that time was all about. Remember, they heard the voice. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. To be in that place in his presence, to have the clarity of God's voice, and to see the Lord Jesus Christ as he is. That's what the presence of the Lord is all about. We're not going to have this anxiety of what can we do in a religious way here. We're just going to stand in his presence and be changed. And this is echoed in the last scripture I will read from 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared as what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him. We shall see him just as he is. This is the season we're coming into. What do we need to do now? We don't need to build a bunch of tabernacles. Let's all of us just seek the Lord. Something new is coming forth. Let's just be in his presence. We're all going to see the Lord Jesus Christ in a clearer way as we come through this time. And like it says in 1 John, when we see him as he is, we change. We become like him. Amen.